Andy Warhol's Frankenstein, rated X, is here.
Walt Disney's turning in his grave.
Newsweek magazine says, Andy Warhol's Frankenstein is a perversely fascinating movie.
Very bloody.
Gory.
It was a trip.
Playboy says, swooping bats, severed limbs, human entrails, a hideous decapitating gadget, and some well-turned breasts and buttocks are among the treats that slither off the screen.
Yeah, I think it's a type of movie I've never seen before.
Sickening.
I think it was an excellent film.
Judith Crist in New York Magazine says, Andy Warhol's Frankenstein has some very funny things going for it.
If you like Andy Warhol, you like Frankenstein, you like gangster movies, you like night. Yeah, it's a freaky movie. It's a really freaky movie.
Andy Warhol's Frankenstein from Bryanston Pictures, rated X, under 17 not admitted.
Hey
everybody.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Hey everybody.
This is Mike Grasso.
Podcast.
The March Alternative Cinema Podcast.
March. Woohoo! Spring, thank God. Well, pseudo-spring.
The podcast, we're recording this podcast on March 2nd, and the podcast was supposed to be up on March 1st.
Oh, and, stomach punch. I don't know what you guys are, but we got dumped on. Like, how many feet? 15 feet, something like that? 20 feet of snow, at least.
Quite a bit of snow.
It was really, you know, it's like March is supposed to, you know, start to cool it out, man. Let it all cool out. Let it all cool down your vertebrae. But that's from History of the World, Part 3.
So,
but it sucks.
So that's John Fedeli talking.
Hey.
John.
Hi. What's on the menu for today, Mike?
Well,
what's today's blue plate? Blue plate special.
Oh, can I have those letters?
Yeah, sure.
Or my notes.
Are we going to talk about the big news? The big sad news?
Oh.
The big sad news. I'm shocked to hear this.
When I spoke to John Fedeli on the telephone, I informed him that Jamie Gillis had passed away.
Unbelievable.
Jamie Gillis being a 1970s adult film superstar.
Superstar. Icon.
Icon. And star of so many of the After Hours storefront features. These are the features, the never-before-on-DVD features from our massive library that we've been releasing. Most notably, I think lately for Jamie Gillis, was that Come and Be Purified by Sean Costello.
Yeah, all Sean Costello movies. Joe Rock Superstar.
Yes. I think, is he the guitar player?
No, the drummer. He's the drummer. He has a very small part in the movie. I don't even think he has any lines, actually.
Oh.
It seemed to be like his first movie with Sean.
It's quite possible. That is on the Sean Costello Honeymoon Suite.
Yes.
Triple feature. And John was really kind of shocked.
I was, as was I,
but I heard about it a week ago.
I thought he was like strong like bull doing his thing out. Where is he? In Colorado? Like doing
New
real
York
estate?
City.
Oh, he's in New York?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. What was he doing in New York?
He lived in New York. His girlfriend was Zarella from Zarella's Restaurant on the Mid-East Side.
Which girlfriend, never married.
You know, he could have been married to her. I really don't know. When I saw Jamie Gillis in December of 2008, it was a Joe Sarno dinner.
Mm.
I was there with Mike Bowen and Joe Kolbeck.
Oh, that's right. There are pictures of that, right?
And
photos up on your Flickr.
We brought Joe Sarno to dinner, and Jennifer Jordan was there. She's Abigail Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
And Carter Stevens drove in from the Poconos.
You and Carter kind of look alike, you know.
For real?
Just a little bit.
Wow. You hear that, Carter?
Yeah. Anyhow.
Like, John just, like, stopped me dead in my tracks.
Sorry. Guys could be, like, cousins or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Carter got laid an awful lot when he was younger.
Oh, so he could have been your cooler cousin.
There you go. And we went to Zarella's Restaurant, which is Jamie's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie came and hung out. And,
that was cool.
It was cool. It was a lot of fun. We did an interview with him for the Joe Sarno, Abigail Leslie is Back in Town, Laura's Toy double feature, which comes out this month on March 23rd.
23rd?
Yes. So I would say his death is untimely.
Did anybody know he was ill? It was just like all of a sudden you heard.
I don't know. I certainly did not know he was ill.
That sucks.
And it was some type of cancer. And apparently it was very quick, you know, within the last year.
Lucky for him.
That is sad news. And in a minute or so, I'm going to play some sound bites that I pulled of people like Carter Stevens, Joe Sarno talking about Jamie Gillis, and Jamie Gillis talking about Jamie Gillis. So, but, so you want to hear what I've been doing, or you want to talk about what you've been doing?
You don't want to hear what I've been doing. I haven't been doing shit. What have you been doing?
Well, you've been playing out, right?
A couple of times, yeah. Well, tried to play out last Friday, but the snow beat us.
You did do Pink Delicates night?
Well, we did the Smooth Sailors in Hoboken at Maxwell's. Big bar in there, local bar in Hackensack. No, Hoboken, sorry. And we had a great time.
I went on February 20th to Chainsaw Kiss's Night of Dangerous Music.
Oh, how was that? That was in Passaic.
It was in Clifton. At the Clash Bar.
Yeah, how's that place? Nice.
Yeah, I like it.
Good.
And Chainsaw Kiss is...
Victor Bonacore.
And Ruby LaRocca.
And Joey Smack.
Joey Smack.
It was a Night of Dangerous Music hosted by Johnny Link.
Hello, this is John Link, actor in independent films, anarchist, occultist, paranormalist, and researcher.
Oh, how'd he do?
He did great.
Any of his teeth fall out while he was announcing bands?
One of the Chainsaw Kiss gang wrote, scripted his...
Oh, cool.
So John Link was on great. Stage, he's like... Hey, all you cocksuckers out there! Stop all your, it was just. I really wish I had a copy of the copy that he read.
Did somebody record the evening?
I don't know. I photographed the evening.
Oh my goodness!
So
priceless audio.
And they had some bands there. They had a band called Beret. And they all dressed like in French sailor outfits.
Oh, nice.
Striped white and black and white shirts.
Yeah.
And had drawn on tattoos.
Nice.
And they all had berets on. There's like four or five guys in the band, but there's an additional three or four guys on the floor, just like...
Dancing,
throwing chairs over each other, and smashing glasses.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like fake glasses or real glasses?
Well, at least one real glass was broken.
Wow.
I was like in the corner.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah. So I went to the Night of Dangerous Music, and it was dangerous because, during the beret set, I was like, really? I was just like...
You were hiding. It was like you were like in a who are those guys? Bowery Boys show, and you're like Satch in the corner.
Mike Hunchback played.
Who's that?
He plays with on the floor. He's like, his guitar's moving on the floor, and he's like playing with his teeth and shit.
Yeah? Was he any good?
Old Frank Marino style. Remember that?
Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush.
Yeah.
Yeah, was he any good, or was it just like ding, 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 ding?
No, I thought all the music was good.
Did Bill Hellfire's band play?
No,
no.
Bill Hellfire's band is currently bust.
Oh, jeez.
But I did see Zombie Mike.
Oh, that's good.
Zombie Mike was his drummer.
Yeah,
it was nice. And Chainsaw Kiss. This is a filmmaking group, not a rock group.
Victor Bonacore,
Ruby LaRocca, Joey Smack.
They had the. It was a benefit to raise money.
How much money did they raise?
I don't know.
Ah, that would have been good.
But to raise money so they could finish their shot on film feature, which is shot on Super 8 and 16mm.
They have their own camera. They own their own film camera. Or they rent.
They own their own SR1 package.
Yeah, nice.
All this is caused by UFOs.
Also, Richard Griffin.
Yes. Maniac Cop.
No, he did not do Maniac Cop. That was Bill Lustig.
Oh, sorry.
Richard did... Creature from the Hillbilly Lagoon.
Oh, right.
Splatter yes. Disco, Feeding the Masses.
It's been a whole month since we spoke about him.
Richard has announced that he is shooting a shot on Super 8 feature film.
Wow, awesome.
Called Disco Exorcist. And of course, you know that myself and Joe Kolbeck are editing Basement.
Shot on Super 8.
Shot on Super 8, 1989, yeah. Directed by Tim O'Rourke.
How's that going?
It's going great. Going great.
Almost done or no?
The film is cut together and we're doing the sound mix right now.
Great.
From scratch.
What do you mean? Oh, you're dubbing all the voices and everything?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Who's going to dub my voice?
I don't know. You can do your voice if you're available.
No, Joe does a lot of good voices. I'm sure he'll
We're going to keep the original scratch track as the second track on the disc.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
We recorded,
it's that bad, or?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of camera noise.
Oh, I see.
It was recorded what's called single system Super 8, which is Super 8 film with a magnetic strip on the film. Yeah. So you could plug a microphone into the camera.
I mean, literally as thin as a piece of hair.
It's not that thin.
It's pretty thin.
And
a couple pieces of hair.
It held up 20 years.
That's crazy.
So, and I don't know if you recall, we borrowed the wireless mic from Bashir. Do you remember it was a big bass unit?
Bashir Bakunji.
Do you remember it was a bass unit?
Yeah.
That you plug in?
Yeah, it was one that sat in the mud.
Yeah, so we had a wireless mic system. If we didn't record the sound, I really think we would have been toast.
You would have been fucked.
Toast.
There's no way you
would have been able
to figure out what.
We don't have a script. Yeah. So the recorded soundtrack served as a scratch track and works great. So
cool.
So that's what's going on, you know, in the world of Super 8, and it's pretty
and
cool.
Who would have thunk there was that much even going on in the world of Super 8?
Tony Marsiglia is in pre-production on a new film.
Super 8?
No, it's an unnamed feature film going to star...
Misty Monday!
As?
I don't know. I don't know what character she's going to be.
Is Julian Wells going to be in it as well?
Not that I'm aware of.
They're like, you know, the all-star, superstar pairing.
I don't have a soundbite for this particular show, but I will in the future. Ed Grant recently interviewed Misty Monday for the Seduction Cinema Late Night TV Collection, which is coming out on June 29th.
Great.
So we'll have that.
Yeah, we got to have Ed back, man. It's been too long.
Yeah, no.
Way too long.
I'll have to get Ed back.
It's somebody who knows what the fuck they're talking about around here.
And, of course, you know that we spun off this show to the Film Photography Podcast. Anybody wants to check out all my rantings online, you can go to http://.
Splash.
MichaelRosso.blogspot.com. That's R-A-S-O. So, I don't know, these new digs, does it feel like we're in a mausoleum?
It feels like we're in a museum, an EI museum, a pop cinema museum, because there's all, we're surrounded by film canisters and equipment and different props from fucking 20 years worth of filmmaking.
Yeah, we're in the studio, in the bowel of the studio, and the whole studio is getting revamped. I'm going to be doing a heck of a lot of film photography in the studio.
Yes, that would
be
great.
So I'm cleaning, I mean, you know, I always say when you clean, it creates more of a mess before you actually see
it.
Like that room you went into.
Because you have no... I mean, you know what? My wife and I lived in Brooklyn for like 10 years in this small apartment. And when we started pulling shit out from under the bed and out of the closet, oh my God.
Crazy.
I don't know how we got all that shit in there. I really don't. Or how it even got in there. I think people must have been cramming shit in there when we weren't looking.
Cram.
Mail's in.
Hey, Mike and John. You guys weren't just shooting your mouths off. That really was the best AC podcast ever. Ridiculously entertaining. Henrik Kudo's music is hilarious. We've started playing his Miley Cyrus is Pregnant with My Two-Headed Love Child song on our morning show here at Rock 102 in Fargo. Hey, awesome. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
I have to thank you for turning me on to two fine musicians now, Henrik and Scott Walker. Wow.
Imagine that in one sentence. Henrik Kudo and Scott Walker the same sentence.
The 30th Century Man was an amazing documentary. Yes, it is. I never would have watched it had I not heard Mike prattling on about it.
Every episode.
During every podcast.
That's what it says?
Yeah, it says,
Oh.
And I went, I just added a little song. The Shockfest giveaway went great. Thanks again, and we love to keep to help promote alternative cinema here any chance we get. Keep releasing all those great flicks, and we'll keep watching them. Thanks again, Scotch. 102, Rock 102 in Fargo. Hey, Scotch, check out the Pink Delegates, man. They're pretty good, too.
We need to send them a disc.
Yeah, we'll send you a disc.
I think that Scotch has written them before.
And Goof Goof. It says Scotch, Goof Rock Roof. 102, and Goof Goof. Yeah.
Goof Roof.
Goof Goof.
Spell it.
Oh, Goof Roof, I'm sorry.
Goof Goof.
You can get in touch.
You'll be sending people into some
Goof,
hyperspace.
Goof Goof.
All this is caused by UFOs.
I don't know what Goof Roof is. I'm going
to
check it
out.
So
if you send someone to goofgoof.com, it's the same thing as if you gave someone wrong directions and they drive 20 miles out of them, right?
Yeah, but who the fuck knows what Goof Roof is or Goof Goof for all that?
Scotch, why? What's the Goof? I guess we'll have to go to Goof Roof. Go to,
you got the computer. Oh, I got the computer. I don't know. We'll go to the Goof Roof.
We don't know what's that Goof Roof.
Let's see. The www. www.goofroof?
You know, the thing is, you know...
It's very slow internet here.
Goofroof.
So. Oh, it's everything goofy under one roof. Goofroof, the art and satire of Noel Anderson. Hey, Noel. Oh, pretty cool.
Oh, it's Noel Scotch Anderson.
Oh, is that right?
Didn't we ask when he's gonna do caricatures of us?
These are great. This guy's got some talent. Holy smokes. It looks a little bit like Ed Hardy.
Well, let's talk about us.
I don't know. This guy's good. Mall of America, M-A-U-L.
I'm really happy that he's playing the Henry Cudo, Miley Cyrus, yada yada, Bim Bam Bay.
This shit is awesome, man. Check it out, man. You got to check this guy's stuff out at goofroof.com.
Thanks, Scotch.
Yeah, thanks, man.
The fantastic duel of the century, the most ferocious battle in history. The flesh and blood King Kong fights his most incredible enemy, a 60-foot robot King Kong forged of super steel. King Kong escapes. All new, all thrilling in Technicolor. King Kong battles missiles, monsters, and a King Kong of steel. King Kong escapes. A Toho Company limited picture, a universal release.
Babs, they need a good...
Jimmy, are you okay?
Well, Mom, I'm looking at all these horror sites, but I want one that kills.
Killer Reviews is the place to be for horror, science fiction, and fantasy.
Oh. Killer Reviews.
I'll be right back.
Horror reviews, interviews, a killer podcast in a form for freaks like
Killer Reviews. Killer Reviews. Killer Reviews.
So there you have it, Jimmy. KillerReviews.com has everything you need. Jimmy? Jimmy? Jimmy!
Mario?
Okay, Mario.
Mario says, hey, I wanted to know if Pop has any plans to renew the Camp Motion Pictures Retro 80s Horror Collection line and release more forgotten 80s shot on video horror flicks.
I heard. Yes, stop. The answer is yes.
Yes to both?
So far, go ahead.
Okay. I heard you guys were planning to release Gary, Video Violence 1 and 2, Cohen's Captives, a.k.a. Mama's House.
Yes, we're going to release Captives.
Is that still going to happen in the near future? Also, did you guys ever look into releasing more 80s camp video titles like Gourmet, Zombie Chef, From Hell, Death Row Diner, and Rock, and the Money Hungry Party Girls, and Donna Mitchell Productions, Donna Michelle Productions titles like The Abominator, Rock and Roll Mobster Girls, and Attack of the Killer Refrigerator?
No.
No.
I looked into the Donna Michelle titles. They're kind of scattered in the wind.
Yeah.
And Alternative Cinema Catalog used to sell them on VHS years ago.
VHS? What that, Daddy?
Yeah.
And do you guys plan to release any more Todd Sheet titles on the Camp label?
Yes.
Absolutely. And BTW, by the way.
Yes.
Do you happen to have any of the following VHS titles still in stock?
Dead.
The Infamous Bondage Murders.
I'll have to check with Justin.
Infamous Bondage 2. Violent Shit 3. Violent Shit, those things are crazy.
Yes, they are.
Zombie 90. Dead Girls Don't Say Goodbye. And Shadow Tracker, Vampire Hunter.
That's a Justin Wingenfeld question.
Yeah, this was addressed to Justin.
Oh. Well, I'm going to ask Justin if he answered Mario. Via email.
Yeah. Okay.
Second page.
I forgot to ask about this in the last email. It was about some older Factory 2000 Misty Monday titles previously released on VHS, but not yet.
Dead Girls Don't Say Goodbye, The Erotic Confessions of Misty Monday, Velveteen Vampire, I Strangle the Body, 3-disc edition, Infamous Bondage Murders Trilogy 3-disc edition, International Necktie Strangler, etc.
Okay.
What?
Gary Cohen's Captives is coming out in a Camp Motion Picture box set in a classic VHS box, what's known as the VHS Big Box.
Yeah.
With the never-before-seen 1989 shot on Super 8 film, The Basement.
Oh, really? That's where that's landing, huh?
Video Violence 1, Video Violence 2, and Cannibal Camp Out.
That was the last email.
I'm answering everything now.
Okay. But there's still more.
And
that's got a lot of questions.
The Factory 2000 titles, yes, they will be coming to DVD. It's been a slow a train a coming, I know, but yes, eventually they'll make it the way to DVD.
Great.
Tracky.
Another title I think would be a good candidate if you ever decide to revive the Camp Retro 80s horror collection would be Zachary Winston Snigg's early 1989 flick, The Bloody Video Horror That Made Me Puke on My Aunt Gertrude.
I don't know.
Just a suggestion. Thanks, Mario.
The 1989 Bloody Video Horror That Made Me Puke on My Aunt Gertrude.
That was released, wasn't it?
Shot on VHS. Appropriately released on VHS. I don't see it happening.
No.
As a matter of fact, John Link.
Hello, this is John Link.
Got a hold of me at the Night of Dangerous Music.
Actor in independent films, anarchist, occultist, paranormalist, and researcher.
Literally, he was like, Mike! Grabbed you? Like,
well, Zach showed up.
Did he?
Zachary Snigg, director of Purgatory Blues.
I play an Elvis impersonator in hell in that picture. And I asked him what happened to Purgatory Blues. I don't have a copy of it. And Snake said, well, it's not out. I asked Mike, and he said, it's not out, and maybe it'll come out next year.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Snigg, I didn't recognize you without hair.
Yeah.
When's Purgatory Blues coming out?
Yeah, when is it?
Maybe it'll come out next year.
Did it ever get released?
No, it never got released.
No. It's a pretty decent movie.
I don't remember John Link being in the film.
Actor in independent films, anarchist, occultist, paranormalist, and researcher.
He may have a small part.
He says he plays Elvis in heaven.
I play an Elvis impersonator in hell in that picture.
Oh, yeah, very small at the end. You know who's great in that movie? Debbie Rochon.
Yes.
She's great in it.
Purgatory Blues. I'm sure it would be able to fit it on some kind of collection that's coming out. That's all you got in the letters?
That's it. No mas.
Hi, I'm the sinful bed. Imagine all the loving I've seen in 100 years of service. I'm dying to tell you about it. Hurry to your nearest theater where we can be alone in the dark. The Sinful Bed. I'll be waiting for you. Come soon. The Sinful Bed. That's me. Yeah.
Hi. Hello. My name is Ken.
And my name is Seth. We're the hosts of the Movies About Girls podcast.
We'd like you to listen to our show, because on our 50th episode,
we're going
to
kill a guy.
Until then, we're going to watch hardcore pornography
and laugh at jerks.
So if you like tits and murder
and gags and bitterness,
then listen to the Movies About Girls podcast, the podcast for teenage losers of all ages. Moviesaboutgirls.com.
I thought I'd tell everyone a story.
Yeah, tell me a story.
I thought I'd breeze through Home Media Magazine.
Yeah, tell me story.
Yeah.
Home Media Magazine.
Any pictures?
Lots of pictures. Home Media Magazine, for those of you who don't know, is the home media magazine for people in the biz. So if you work for a label, a DVD label, you would get Home Media Magazine.
So this magazine is in some pretty important toilets.
So no. Yes, yes. Now, I would encourage any I would encourage any young filmmaker out there, or any filmmaker at all, to go to homemediamagazine.com, because you too can access all this information about what's going on in the biz, so that when you make your film, you can kind of have a pulse of what's going on. But as I've been saying in the last year, the DVD business is really on its way out, and video streaming is kind of on its way in.
Mm-hmm.
So the magazine kind of reinforces all of the bad news that I've been giving the last year. It gives you just the facts, which is good to have. For example, the fact that Netflix eyes new stream content as results shine. So apparently Netflix is having quite a bit of success with their streaming through select Blu-ray players.
Really?
And through the what's known as the Roku box.
Roku. Thank you. Hi.
Do you have the Netflix?
Yeah, I have Netflix. But I watch a couple of movies online. I don't have the box, though.
On your computer. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it's great. Because you can go anywhere in the house and watch a movie.
Hmm.
My crotch gets a little hot from having a laptop on it, but
there's also full groovy full page ads in these in this magazine. Like, did you know that Mad Men season 3 is coming out on March 23rd?
I haven't even watched season 1 yet.
Okay.
I got it sitting on my shelf.
Tells you all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me story.
Did you know that House of the Devil comes out on Blu-ray and ...VHS?
What's House of the Devil?
I'm going to tell you what House of the Devil is.
Thank you.
Horror throwback, The House of the Devil, releasing February 2nd from NPR Dark Sky, has had an innovative marketing campaign featuring a VHS release of the film to tie into its style in the vein of such 70s and 80s horror films as Carrie and Rosemary's Baby.
I rented that movie on demand.
House of the Devil?
Yes.
You're kidding.
Nope.
What enticed you to rent it on demand?
I had read about it in Time Out New York.
For real?
Yeah, because it was like, you know, a throwback to the 80s slashers film, which my wife and I, when we were dating in the 80s, we used to go see all of them. So I'm like, oh, I could go for one of those. And they have a special. It was a very limited release in theaters. And at the same time, they had a release on demand for it. So,
did you enjoy it?
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was fun.
Did you know that it was going to be released on VHS?
I know.
I can tell you that the folks here...
Why? Just because it's retro? Because it's a retro movie and VHS is retro?
Yep.
So it's a collector's item.
A few people here in the marketing department were upset because they felt that House of the Devil stole our thunder. When I say stole our thunder, is we were planning a VHS release in our camp motion picture box. I really didn't see... I wasn't very upset. I felt that we have is a different animal.
But I think it's good because it helps feed each other. One helps the other.
I thought it was cool. I mean, House of the Devil is a new film. It's not an actual...
Right, but I mean, it looks from the film stock to the... I mean, it takes place in the 80s, too. Oh. All the cars, all the styles, all the haircuts, everything. It's a good one.
See,
it's a decent movie. It's not fantastic.
The film Taxidermia, which comes out on, I don't know, where's the date? Anyhow, doesn't that look like Pete Jackalone's sculpture?
Oh my God, it does. It's exactly like it.
There's a film called Taxidermia comes out and came out in February. It's Pete Jackalone. I mean, that's his art.
It's the movie. Yeah, it's exactly it.
Bastards.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm moving right along.
What's the Lord of the Rings? They're releasing the Lord of the Rings on the Next magazine.
Oh, Next magazine.
Yeah, right there in front of your Foch.
I want to tell you that the Lord of the Rings, first time on Blu-ray, April 6th.
The whole trilogy.
The whole thing, John.
Wow.
Here's some sad news, and I will tell you why.
Huh. What's the matter?
Movie Gallery, which is the same company as Hollywood Video. Do you remember Hollywood Video Gallery?
Sure.
Movie Gallery files second bankruptcy in 3 years.
Oh, my.
Oh,
my.
Now, if you recall...
I can almost hear the toilet flushing now.
If you recall, Movie Gallery and Hollywood Video, they purchased our release, Stash, Jacob Ennis.
All right.
Stash was so successful was because Movie Gallery and Hollywood Video, which is the number two rental retailer below Blockbuster, they purchased our release of Stash.
Mm.
And that's very important to be successful as a new filmmaker, as a untested filmmaker, to get your film released and get picked up by a major retailer like Blockbuster or Hollywood Video is not only a major feather in your cap, but also some shekels for your pocket. It made the film...
what it is.
Work.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our marketing efforts... you know, are able to get recouped, and a filmmaker is actually able to see money.
Yeah, one guy.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, the thread of this podcast has always been, hey, you know, shoot your film because you want to shoot your film, not because of the money, because it's very difficult to make money in the motion picture business if you're a true, ultra-low-budget independent. Occasionally, if you get your film released and picked up by a Blockbuster or Hollywood Video, and at the same time, if it's successful in like a Best Buy or an Amazon.com,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, if it does some television or foreign sales,
mm-hmm.
you can actually make money. You can make enough money to start fueling your second film. It'll put some cash in your pocket.
Pay the rent.
Pay the rent. And you could be a working filmmaker, as I call them. And Stash, I am happy, thrilled at its success because it was an underdog film, first-time feature film for Jacob Ennis, who, by the way, is wrapping up Red River for us.
Great.
First-time filmmaker, Jacob Ennis, we hit a stroke of luck. And had nothing to do with the fact the film is good, bad, and, you know, good, bad, and different, whatever you think of the film.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for whatever, what the film is, the type of horror film it is, combined with the lurid box art, made for some success. But now, Movie Gallery in Hollywood are filing a second bankruptcy. Thank goodness they paid us.
Yeah.
And that means, again, kapoof or kaboom.
Another outlet gone.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to be able to recover this time. You know, there are these kiosks around the country, the Red Box. You know, you see them on your corner. It's a box. You put a dollar in and you rent a video. Have you seen those?
Yeah, they're in the supermarket.
Yes. They're not buying independents right now. Like, they're not buying any Camp products or Shockarama.
Yeah, because they're in public places. They probably don't rent rated R movies.
Yeah. Fantastic Mr. Fox comes out on 3/23.
Wow, full page, full two-page ad.
Spread. I'd watch that.
It's up for an Academy Award.
Is that right?
Yep. Best Animated. One of the Academy Awards? This weekend, right?
For real?
The 6th?
I'm behind, John. I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't pay attention.
Movie Gallery filing not unexpected, according to Thomas K. Arnold. Movie Gallery has done practically zilch in the reinvention category, and what it has done has been too little, too late. So says Thomas K. Arnold, publisher of Home Media Magazine.
Tom Arnold?
Yeah.
Oh, well. So you're just going to be able to buy, pretty soon, Blockbuster's going to be gone, let's face it.
It's true, let's face it, really, yeah.
All those rental places will be gone. You're going to only have to, if you want to rent some, you're going to have Netflix or Blockbuster. I think Blockbuster does the same thing that Netflix does.
Amazon, download.
Oh, Amazon has downloads?
Amazon has downloads.
Amazon's great. Their MP3 service is awesome.
So, you know, I mean, I'm not in a very...
Pontificatatis.
I'm not in that type of mood right now.
I'm
a man of few words today, but simple. And then let's all put it in a little nutshell. We have our nutshell here. In order to see your independent feature, the options are going to be... Well, let's put it this way. Streaming is going to give the power to the viewer, so the viewer is going to have so many more options. Which means that...
It's going to drive the price down.
Yes, because streaming options are much cheaper.
Stream it for like $2.
Yeah, cheaper per view. None of this, you know, $19.99 retail. I think that's history. It's making for very, very steep competition. So my words of wisdom for this podcast are, and I'm sure I've said this before, if you're a filmmaker making a movie, your film needs to be a cut above.
It's got to be something special.
It needs to be something special.
Something new.
And I receive a lot of films here, and I'm very, very, I'm very bad at, you know, giving out bad news. I don't like telling anybody that, you know, we cannot do anything with your film.
You're like George Clooney in that In the Air movie.
I'm gonna see that.
That's good.
Up in the air.
His job is to go fire people.
I'm not good at that. I am not. As a matter of fact, no, I'm not good at it at all. Zero. Nope. So, filmmakers sending me films, first of all, if you're shooting an independent feature film, micro budget or no budget, mm-hmm. If it's not lit, forget it.
Forget it.
And I'm not saying it's good, bad, and different.
You could have fucking Eddie Murphy in it.
Put it on YouTube.
There you go.
I mean, really, it's time to, you know, pick up your bootstraps and do it yourself. Put it on YouTube. I always give a tip of the hat, not that he's shooting features, but to the... young man, Sean Phillips.
Hey, you guys. Welcome to my November 23rd DVD update.
My DVD update?
Oh, yes.
He has 20,000 subscribers to his YouTube channel.
That's great.
And some of his videos get upwards of 40, 50,000 hits. He's creating an environment, and people are going to his channel to see what he has to say. I think that some filmmakers, you see, making films, as you know, John, is so difficult to do, that I think some filmmakers automatically may feel entitled that they have are owed something when they complete their feature, or it should be seen. And I hate to break the news to everybody, but it just is not so.
Just as hard to make a good movie as it is to make a piece of shit.
Well, yeah.
And even if you make a piece of shit that you think is a great movie, and you think like, oh, this movie should be opening in theaters.
And this is why I constantly talk about Richard Griffin. And
Victor Bonacore.
David Campfield.
Victor Bonacore.
Every John Link show. By the way, if you Google The John Link Show, John Link has his own podcast live on Thursday nights. I think it's on 11 p.m.
Wow.
And every podcast, he's like, I think Victor Bonacore is going to call in.
Does he ever?
No. He called in once, I think.
Victor Bonacore.
John Link, of course, is the star, co-star with Linnea Quigley on, in Victor Bonacore's new feature in production, Blood Wings. And what I like about Blood Wings is they're just making their film and they have no preconceived notion of selling it.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to make it and they want people to see it.
Right.
That's it.
Victor Bonacore.
It's the whole, what do you call it, grassroots movement behind filmmaking.
So, well, you know, I will tell you.
I'm playing this chair with my ass.
Good.
Listen.
Is that coming up? I don't know. So far, the alternative cinema release schedule has been a lot of buzz. The Richard Griffin film, None of That, which came out January 12th, has been getting some great, great reviews.
Good.
And sales seem to be brisk. Our February 9th title,
Stephen Romano's Shockfest.
Shockfest.
Yeah, I get a copy of that today, by the way.
Okay. You will really, really enjoy it.
Yeah,
the reviews are really, really good.
Stellar.
It's stellar. Awesome. Stellar. This is a stellar collection.
All this is caused by UFOs.
A couple of trailers that I've seen have been great.
And I've been sprinkling, or as Bashir used to say, sprinkle.
Was he talking about donuts?
I think he was talking about when you sprinkle an effect. Like you would.
Oh, I don't know. I never knew what that guy was talking about.
Shockfest, we've been sprinkling trailers from the Disc 3. Disc 3 is nothing but MP3s. It's like, from what I understand, hours and hours of classic trailer.
It's great.
Radio spots.
From the mists of infinity, they come, rising from the cold, damp earth to take what is now theirs.
My God, the damn thing's moving!
When the moon turns red, the dead shall rise and walk the earth. From the gates of hell, they have finally come. The gates of hell. No one under 17 admitted without parent or certified adult guardian.
This is a collection not to be missed.
Nope. Gotta have it.
You gotta have it. And you have to have it so much that I think that we'd like to give away...
Definitely.
...a few copies of Shockfest. And all you need to do is...
Tell me...
No, just write an email to alternativecinemapodcast@gmail.com.
You know what you could do? You could have people spell my name in the first three people that spell it right, because everybody always fucks it up.
Yes, Fidelli. No one's going to spell it right.
Oh, that look
no,
it
just
up.
Send a letter
look
to
it up on the internet.
alternativecinemapodcast@gmail.com. Please remember to put your name and address, and we're going to pick like the first few.
How about, here's a good question.
First come, first serve.
Who's the only female woman that's been in two trilogies?
I don't even know what you're talking about. What trilogy? What, Trilogy of Terror?
Trilogy, no, three movies playing the same character.
I don't know who. Well, just send us a letter and we're going to take care of you. And only the first few will get a...
Nobody will get
shock
that.
Shock festival.
Come on, people.
No, you don't need to answer any questions. Just, we want the email.
Yeah, but let's see how many people know that, though. Come on. Give me something
to
do.
We give away film on the Film Photography Podcast, and I got biggest chuckle, one piece of email. It was just the guy's address. It just said SOS film and his address.
SOS. Oh, there you go.
It's pretty funny.
What else
so
you
if you
say?
Need Stephen Romano's Shock Festival, just Put SOS.
Prove it.
Prove see, how John, bad you John, want it. See, John wants you to prove it, like answer some questions.
No, you don't have to answer a question, but you know, just people are out there, you know, that may have no interest in it, that just want it.
Let's see who this is.
Because it's such a cool thing. Another fucking phone ring, huh?
Twitter. Roku player. I signed up for the Roku.
What's Roku again?
It's the Netflix box.
Oh, yeah. What's available?
You know, I don't know how to get back on the Twitter to disconnect this. Roku player.
Stupid.
New Today, 2012, starring John Cusack. Watch on.
That thing looks ridiculous.
Watch The Destruction Now on Roku.
It's unbelievable.
Amazon Video.
Would you watch that movie?
I saw it in the theater.
Oh, my God. Why?
Because it was a ridiculous movie, and I knew it was going to be ridiculous.
Like, was there one frame in that movie that was not completely CGI?
It's like a cartoon.
Yeah, it looks. I don't understand.
Because you, John, of all people, you know and love disaster movies, and I wanted to see the Earth blow up.
Okay.
Do you remember the first scene in Terminator 3?
Yeah.
The Earth explodes.
Yeah.
What a treat that was.
Yeah. But there was something, you know, something special about it because it only explodes once. Every frame of that movie, something's exploding. Or crashing. Or breaking. After a while, it's like, you know, there's another thing blowing up. Okay. Big fucking deal.
On March 9th. We release Michael Hoffman's movie, Rot.
Rot.
You, rot.
Did you ever say that as a kid? Like if somebody did something bad to you, you'd be like, you rot.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big phrase.
That was a big word, rot.
You rot.
Yeah. Rot, Reunion of Terror, directed by Michael Hoffman. And this is a very smart-looking film. I was really, really impressed at the production value of this film. Michael Hoffman is a professional. He works for John Bon Jovi. It's not true. Bon Jovi Productions.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Bon Jovi's
brother?
Cousin or brother.
It's cousin.
There's a relative of John Bon Jovi that runs a audio facility down in Florida.
Right.
So you may. I think I kind of knew that.
I think, I heard that in my travels.
Yeah. So Michael works there, and he made his own feature film called Rot, Reunion of Terror, about a group of kids now, a little over college age, getting back to a high school reunion. And, of course, there's that kid who we don't know who it is that's going to come back and kill them all. Rot, Reunion of Terror, an independent feature film. We have a soundbite from Michael Hoffman.
You do?
Let's plug in the microphone. And listen, everyone, I'm really sorry that I was talking into dead air the first 25 minutes of the podcast.
Dumbass. Okay, here we go.
Okay. This is Michael Hoffman.
This is day, I think, 20...
Yeah, middle of the day.
This is day 24 production. And, however, it's only day 12 of shooting. So I should tell you how things are going.
We've made a career out of this movie.
Yeah, the whole film will still be shot in 13 days. But 13 days over almost 30 days. And right now we're trying to get coverage on the scene we started shooting yesterday with the tires cut on the truck. Because it started raining and downpouring on us. The weather got real bad while we were shooting, and we weren't even able to get audio and actually get proper inserts and pickup shots. So hopefully, if we can get through this today, we're on schedule to finish up this movie tonight with the shoot all night again, overnight. It's freezing cold out here. It's probably about 34 degrees tonight. Hopefully not quite as cold as it's been. I'm just really happy that the film got completed and it's able to tell the storyline coherently and still offer some brutal kill scenes.
I encourage, if you're a filmmaker, you want to make a movie, you are making a movie, to watch Rot, Reunion of Terror because the production values are so...
Show you how to do it.
Good. I was very impressed at the behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, John and I have been on many, many, many productions, both corporate video and... film from the lowest end to like Psycho Sisters,
$2-3 million.
Yeah, where they were like lighting trucks and whatnot, and
more than one guy working in the lighting department.
Yeah, it was really refreshing to see Michael working with his crew behind the scenes, and you could tell looking at them that everyone knew what they were doing. Great, and I could tell you, as someone myself who looks at titles for release on the Shockarama or the Camp Motion Pictures label with people sending in films, I knew Rot was a winner because it was shot so well And when your film looks good, it allows the salespeople in the field, you know, in the marketing of the film, it immediately makes the cut. What I mean by that is, for example, you know, the last few podcasts I've been singing the blues about how Netflix has not been buying. But Netflix picked up Rot for their streaming, which is, they really boosted their streaming. And they picked it up immediately.
That's great.
I think because of the production, beautiful production values of Michael's film, it has an excellent opportunity to also do cable television.
Great.
And these are very important.
Like sci-fi or on demand?
Probably like pay-per-view or maybe like a Showtime type tier. I mean, these are, you know, I tend to talk always about, you know, how to get your money back. Let's see who this is. Hello?
Hi, Dwayne.
Hello? Hello?
There's never good reception in here.
Oh, it's Cablevision calling.
Cablevision?
Yeah, it's like an online survey.
All right, what are we talking about?
Michael Hoffman's Rot, Reunion of Terror. It comes out on March 9th.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I highly recommend the film. It's and I've been really talking it up because I talk so often about making films and what your film should look like, and I'm going to use Rot as sort of like the, what do you call that? The bar of what your motion picture should look like if you want to get it properly marketed, regardless of whether who puts it out. If you want a DVD label or a broadcast rep or a foreign territory to look at your film, I recommend Rot. As we mentioned earlier, it was very sad to hear about the passing of Jamie Gillis.
Bummer.
And I've assembled some sound bites.
Okay.
Also, Jamie, we did an interview with Jamie a year or so ago that was specifically for the re-release of Abigail Leslie is Back in Town. Joe Sarno's Abigail Leslie, Laura's Toys double feature comes out on March 23rd. It features an interview with Jamie Gillis as well as a never-before-seen, first-time-ever interview with Rebecca Brooke.
Whoa!
Yeah, I don't know if she's ever been interviewed before. As well as an interview with Jennifer Jordan, who, of course, played Abigail Leslie.
How's she holding up?
Great.
She looks good?
Yeah. What kind of clips she got?
All right. How about Carter? Hot oven.
Well, we're talking about Joe. You got Joe?
It says Carter, Jamie, hot oven. Oh, well, yeah. Sarno on Gillis.
Here's Sarno on Gillis.
Well, I'll tell you about Jamie. Jamie is a laid-back guy, but he is a very good actor. Very professional to work with. He, again, is another guy that gave me exactly what I wanted on each of the times I shot him. He's an intense guy, but he can play the lighthearted. He had a wide scope.
Jamie Gillis was in Deep Throat Part 2, as well as Abigail Leslie is Back in Town, both available on DVD from Retro Seduction.
Retro.
What else you got?
I got Eduardo, Jamie, Madam Zen.
Eduardo Cimano. His collection called Sexual Healing will be coming out in the next month or so. And in that film is Madame Zenobia, which I think Jamie said was one of his favorite scenes. When I mean scenes, I mean ooh la la.
Bangorama.
Bangorama.
What does Eduardo say?
Let's see.
Now, Madame Zenobia was the fifth of my most notable films and the third in what I call my trilogy. We see Tina Russell in bed, dreaming about her late husband. And suddenly we cut to Jamie Gillis and his girlfriend at the time, Claudia Miró, but her name, was, I think, was Miró. And she, and they're having sex in heaven. He hears her in heaven. And suddenly he stops having sex with his heavenly wench and flies through special effects of the cinema Beaulieu, flying past his naked body on black velour. We see a flying sequence. We had no strings. Vaseline on the lens, very dreamy-like. We see him walking into her bedroom. Now, as this was written, he was going to come down and eat her because I just had a sex scene. But these two stars of the industry had been playing with each other's ego inasmuch as you can't have me and I can't have you, and we've never made it together. You're the biggest male star, I'm the biggest female star, and we haven't done it. So they talked me into making it a real sex scene, and I said, why not? As recently as, well, recently, I haven't talked to Jamie lately, but he loved that scene more than anything, and he always used to remind me of that scene, and, you know, can I get a copy of it? Can I get a print of that scene? And he thought that was one of his greatest porn moments, which I was very proud of as well.
Very.
Wow.
That was great, though.
It was perfect. It's like, it's very heavenly, and he's in heaven, and the angels are singing, and then he starts finger-banging her.
No, eat her.
Whatever.
Eat it.
Brought it down into the gutter so quick.
Eat it.
All right.
Wait. I just got to say one thing.
All right, go ahead.
The life that Jamie Gillis must have lived. Yeah. The chicks he banged.
Eat it.
Couldn't even count them.
It's
Tina Russell?
It's otherworldly, John.
Yeah.
Even Carter Stevens, who I see very frequently, I can't imagine. I can't, the chicks.
It's just another side of the coin, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's unreal.
It's unreal.
Fucking for a living.
Unreal.
Or just having so many things around you can fuck.
What is Carter? Oh, by the way, Jamie is on Carter Stevens Collegiate's Collection. He's a star of two of the films. Hot Oven.
Hot Oven, right now. I got words on it.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Mount of Venus, Jamie has the lead. He plays the head god, Jupiter. Hot Oven, he has a small part. He's a cook. But he has a very pivotal role. There's a scene in Hot Oven where we had a young lady eating spaghetti off his cock. I've often joked that in our business, there were bisexuals, heterosexuals, homosexuals, and then there was Jamie Gillis. But I always remember starting the shoot, he's saying, I don't know if I can do this. Ooh, that feels pretty good. And by God, he delivered. And we have this great scene of a woman actually eating spaghetti off a hard cock, that which made the Hot Oven.
John, unbelievable. Did you hear that?
Classic.
Eating spaghetti off of a hard cock.
Yeah, Carter knows how to really.
And that was Jamie Gillis's cock.
Like, oh.
Do you have Carter talking about how we met Jamie Gillis?
Meeting Jamie, yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
What was your experience like working with Jamie Gillis then? I mean, obviously one of the superstars of the adult film world.
Jamie is one of my favorite people. In fact, true story, the first time I ever met Jamie, I was on location. I walked in on location to do a loop, an 8mm short film. And it was my first time as an actor.
You were appearing in the loop.
I was appearing in the loop. I was an actor. So I was more than a little nervous. And I'm escorted into this apartment on the Upper West Side. And sitting, and they're shooting these loops in the bedroom. And they escort me into the living room, and there's some food on table. And it's sort of, it's a typical New York apartment. The living room, kitchen, and dining room are all one room. And sitting in a chair is this other guy. And we got introduced, but I don't even know if I caught his name. Luckily, somebody told me to bring along a book, so I was sitting there reading my book, and I noticed that this other guy is sort of going through the loose clothing from the people who were in the other room shooting a loop. And he, from this clothing, he pulls out the girl's panties and starts sniffing them.
Okay.
And playing with himself. Now, I'm trying to read the book and watch this at the same time. I'm trying to be very cool. And I'm wondering, you know, am I on Alan Funt? Is this candid camera? Is this a joke? Somebody, you know, long before Ashton Kutcher and Pump, I feel like I'm being Pump. But it wasn't until later on that I realized it was just Jamie trying to get into character, trying to get into the mood to do his what he has to do.
A true method actor.
A true method actor. That was the way I met Jamie Gillis.
Wow.
But I worked with Jamie many times and enjoyed every one of them. You know, he was a joy to work with. He was a gourmet.
Uh-huh.
At one point, he was either living with or at least going out with the food critic from New York Magazine, so he was very knowledgeable in food, wine, and we spent a lot of time talking about it. Because I like to eat. In case you haven't seen me in a film, you know that.
Sounds like he was a well-rounded individual.
Yes. Do we have any other people talking about Jamie, or just Jamie on Jamie?
We have Jamie on Jamie.
That's the last clip?
Jamie in his own words.
Oh. Here's Jamie on Jamie.
After high school, I decided I was going to be an actor. That's it, going to be an actor. So then for a few years, I was an actor, mime, worked in Europe, a mime company for a year. But then after a few years of that, I realized, hey, this isn't really going anywhere. I said, fuck this, I'm going to school. So I went to school. I went to a vocational aptitude guy, and he said, oh, stay in theater. You don't want to go to school. But I said, no, I'm going to school. I'm going to be respectable. I'm doing something serious with my life. I'm going to make a living. So I went to school. And but after a few years of that, I mean, I graduated, but I figured, no, this is, I'm just going to be an actor. Whatever it takes, whatever I have to do, whatever I have to do to survive, be an actor. So I answered an ad in the Village Voice that Bob Wolf put out. What is it called? Nude Models or something. And it was just on the part-time job listings. That's why I answered it. I wasn't looking for nude models. I thought I'd be packing boxes for 2 hours. So anyway, I go over to Bob Wolf's. There's a dirty basement on 14th Street, dirty mattress in the corner. Yeah, you fuck this girl, $30. Great, man, that's terrific. Because otherwise I would have had to drive a cab during the day and then do this Shakespeare at night, which was very hard work. But you fuck a girl in the afternoon, make the same money, do Shakespeare at night, works out. Anyway, after a while, Bob Wolf says to me, you want to do live shows in Times Square? So I say, sure. So I go up to the guy that manages the Love Theater or whatever in Times Square. He said, well, you work Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. I said, what are you, fucking maniac? I'm a serious actor. I do plays at night. You want me to fuck in the afternoon? Okay, I'll fuck in the afternoon. He said, all right, all right, you're fucking in the afternoon. In the beginning of my illustrious career, it was basically all loops. That was what it was. There was no porn industry. There were underground loops. And it was all, you know, these, you know, I never got had anything to do with them, but it was all, you know, mob money, and that was it. It was all underground. There was no legal porn. After Deep Throat, all of a sudden there was like the beginning of an industry. You know, people started making movies, you know. Even then it was mostly one day, what they call one day wonders. You'd shoot a movie in a day. And then if you had a big budget, you'd shoot a 2 day wonder. A 3 day wonder was like, oh wow, this is, you know, but and I don't think there was anything more than a 3 day wonder. I think that was like the limit, you know, that was like already like Gone with the Wind, you know. I'm delighted to have had a small career. To have occasionally people recognize me or say something or have a certain place. But to have been a generally recognized person would have driven me crazy.
Talented guy.
He used his cock as a lasso when he's miming.
Well, these guys, Jamie Gillis, Eric Edwards, Harry Reams, the early 1970 kings. I mean, there was no such thing as the porno business.
Harry Reams still around?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, Utah.
Utah. Oh, he's the guy that doesn't want to talk about his past.
Not really. There was no such thing as the porn industry, John.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Wild West. It was, as Jamie said, you know, someone says, oh, hey, listen, during the day, I'd like to pay you to shoot a loop. You know, there's a mattress in the corner. I'm going to pay you $50 to bang some chick. Well, yeah.
Pay me to get to bed.
Because there is no porn business. Right. You don't know what it is.
Right.
So it's fascinating that these trained actors, Shakespearean actors, started doing porn very well, I might add. And then it became this business.
Yep.
It's mind-boggling.
They're the pioneers of porn.
Yes.
Hey, let me ask you.
Yes.
How long before the first 3D porn movie, that everything's starting to become 3D?
I don't know. You know, there have been 3D adult Andy Warhol's Frankenstein.
Well, I mean like hardcore.
There have been hardcore adult 3D movies.
Yeah.
I wish I could name one off the top of my head right now.
Yeah. Interesting. But now with all this 3D technology starting to become so prevalent.
Indeed.
It'd be interesting.
You know, anyone out there, anyone, if anyone out there would like to write to myself or John to ask a question about the business of making independent features or about anything you heard on the show, or if you have any recommendations, you can contact us at alternativecinemapodcast@gmail.com. And next month, we'll be celebrating our 1 year on the internet.
Is that right?
That's right, John.
12 episodes?
12 episodes. We'll be talking about our upcoming releases.
Should have a guest. Should have Ed in.
Okay, John's been really rallying for Ed. We may have to do it at night for Ed.
Well, that's fine with me. That works for me.
Ed. We're going to have Ed back.
Why? What's Ed's deal?
Ed has a lot of stuff. Ed has a Ed Grant Media Funhouse. Go to mediafunhouse.com. His Media Funhouse has been really fun lately.
Well, Sammy Petrillo. Sammy.
Do you know that Sammy Petrillo is?
He was the Jerry Lewis ripoff.
That's right. Yeah.
Guy made one gorilla movie or some
that's
shit.
That's right. I think it's Bela Lugosi meets the Gas House Gorilla or something
Christ,
like that.
That's ridiculous. This guy's still going on about this fucking
He's
movie.
Dead. He died.
Oh, geez. Oh, well.
So, but Ed interviewed Sammy many times. You know, Ed interviewed Joe Sarno about 10, 15 years ago? Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Ed's
way ahead of the curve.
Yeah. But I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Alternative Cinema Podcast for March 2010.
Thanks.
And see you next month.
Okay, bye-bye. Best podcast ever, Mike, right?